ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट नंबर 7। इत्थं कर्म गतिर्गच्छन् भव्यभद्रवहा पुमान् अभूत संप्लवात्सर्ग प्रलयावश्नुते वशः। इत्थं कर्म गतिर्गच्छन् भव्यभद्रवहा पुमान् अभूत संप्लवात्सर्ग प्रलयावश्नुते वशः। इत्थं कर्म गतिर्गच्छन् भव्यभद्रवहा पुमान् अभूत संप्लवात्सर्ग प्रलयावश्नुते वशः। इत्थम इन दिस वे कर्म गति ही द डेस्टिनेशंस डिटरमिंड बाय हिज पास्ट एक्टिविटीज गच्छन ऑब्टेनिंग बहु अभद्र मच दैट इज इनऑस्पिशियस वहाह विच इन्वॉल्व कुमान द लिविंग बीइंग अभूत संप्लवात until the dissolution of the created universe, sarga pralayau, birth and death, ashnuti, he experiences, avashaha, helplessly. Translation and purport. Thus the conditioned living entity is forced to experience repeated birth and death, impelled by the reactions of his own activities. He helplessly wanders from one inauspicious situation to another, suffering from the moment of creation until the time of cosmic annihilation. Purport. According to Srila Madhvacharya, after hearing that the living entity is repeatedly subjected to birth and death within the material world, if one still considers such a helpless entity equal to God in all respects, one will surely fall into the darkest regions of the universe, from which it is difficult to arise.
ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोऽभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरः श्रीगुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते। तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धोभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
Thus the conditioned living entity is forced to experience repeated birth and death. Impelled by the reactions of his own activities, he helplessly wanders from one inauspicious situation to another, suffering from the moment of creation until the time of cosmic annihilation. Hare Krishna. This chapter is entitled Liberation from the Illusory Energy, and this is the account given by Narad to Yudhishthir Maharaj, and he is recounting the conversation between the Navayogendras and Maharaj Nimi. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given a title for this section called as Maya. So Maya has got two aspects. One is Yoga Maya, another is Mahamaya. And both have, in one sense, a similar function of forgetting that Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Especially here, it is the Mahamaya which has been explained, which has this function of two folds. One is Prakshaya Patmika Shakti and Avaranatmika Shakti. So the Prakshaya Patmika Shakti is the specific function of kicking potency, of giving trouble to the living entities, with the specific intention that the living entity may come to his senses and realize that he is not the enjoyer, and he comes to the understanding that only when he actually is reinstated in his constitutional position of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis in Vrindavan, only then can the soul attain complete satisfaction. So, the misery of death is certainly a great motivation for spiritual life. We have seen in the past the great king Siddhartha, when he is moving around in the kingdom. He was a prince actually, he was not even a king at that time, and he sees some of the people suffering and some of them even dying, and he questions that, will this happen to me? And he immediately renounced his kingdom to attain salvation. So if there would not have been the fear of death, then there would not have been a Buddha. So it's certainly a very powerful motivation. We see that there are so many subjects which have sprung up, so many scientists who have doing research on how to counteract old age and death, the science of gerontology and thanatology. It's quite amazing how many billions of dollars are put into this research to avoid death. So, we can see even in the life of Maharaj Nimi, you see, I mean the way, if you go into the details, like if you see that Maharaj Nimi is the king of the place which is presently known as Mithila. And it was not known as Mithila at that time. He's from the Ikshvaku dynasty. He's a great stalwart person, getting the association of great advanced devotees. Like we can see that all the principles of devotional service was discussed between Navayogendras and Maharaj Nimi. He's not an ordinary person, but still history says that Maharaj Nimi, at one point of time in his life, when he actually was a little rajasic, you know, and he wanted to do a lot of yajnas, and he determined to perform a yajna which lasted for 500 years. We are talking about a previous age. So he called his kulguru Vasishtha and said that please preside over this and make it successful. And Vasishtha said that I am already booked, I have an appointment, and I have been summoned by Indra to perform a yajna which will also last for 500 years. So I request you to please postpone it. When I am back, we can conduct it. So Maharaj Nimi, he did not have the patience to wait for such a long time. So he decided to conduct the sacrifice without Vasishtha, and he requested Gautam Rishi or probably his son Shatanand to preside over the yajna, and he performed it. And then after 500 years, when Vasishtha comes back and he finds that his disciple has already conducted the yajna, he goes into a fit of rage, and he pronounces a curse. He comes to the palace of Maharaj Nimi And Nimi was inside and he says, "Where is Nimi? Call him." And he goes and the soldiers go and call Nimi outside and Maharaj Nimi, and he sees that Vasishtha is in a very angry mood and he falls at his feet and he begs for pardon, but Vasishtha is too outraged and he pronounces a curse that may you die for disobeying me. And Maharaj Nimi, he tries his best to convince him to take back his curse, but Vasishtha did not budge, and eventually Nimi gets so upset with that and he says that you have acted like a chandal for losing your temper without a good reason. So therefore I also curse you that you should also die. So the guru curses the disciple and the disciple also curses the guru. And Maharaj Nimi had to also die. So you see, death cannot be avoided. Even if you are destined for liberation, you cannot avoid death. You can avoid another birth, but you have to die once to attain liberation. So that is the ultimate test. See. And Vasishtha, he immediately ran to Brahma and he said that, "I have got this curse, please help me out." And Brahma says that, "You know, you have acted in a very, you didn't act properly actually, and you have to bear the consequences for that, and therefore I just can suggest that you go into the shelter of Varun and Mitra, and I bless you that you won't have to take birth again from a mother's womb, but your next life will be a life of righteousness and knowledge of the Vedic literatures." So we see that Vasishtha then was again born. Vasishtha and Agastya were both born from Mitra and Varuna, from a pot. And they emerged as great sages. So, a very important lesson we learn actually from here is that we have to be extremely patient in our dealings and not react on the spur of the moment. There is this, one episode of one sadhu who was being criticized and blasphemed by some person. And that sadhu was just smiling. So this person was saying, "Hari, Maharaj, I am giving you so many galis and you are just smiling." So the Maharaj, he said, "Well, you know, I am just thinking, I am just contemplating that you are such an intelligent man, you see. You have memorized so many words, bad words, you have a big vocabulary. So I was just seeing that how much you know." So by hearing that only, this person's half of his passion subsided. And then he said, "But I've given you so much abuses, you're not going to react? You're not going to respond?" He said, "I will respond. I'll go back home and I will think over it and then I will think how I should respond. I'm not in a hurry to respond." So many times we respond on the spur of the moment and we lament later on. See, and somebody tells us something and immediately we blast out and we say something and then we break people's hearts. And we can see that in this case, Vasishtha, you know, he seriously lamented what he did. That's why it is said, when you are happy, don't make any promises. And when you are upset, don't make any decisions. Very important instruction. So, the suffering of death is called as the Prakshaya Patmika Shakti of Maya. And irrespective of anyone in this world, in whatever situation he is, he has to suffer. It's not necessary that if you
You only suffer if you are poverty stricken, or you won't suffer if you are rich. No, whether you don't have anything or you have everything, still you will suffer. Like one sadhu, one very nice saintly person was asked to describe the current situation of the people today. So he was saying, aaj logon ke paas baithne ke liye sofa set hai, dekhne ke liye TV set hai, khane ke liye dinner set hai, pehenne ke liye diamond set hai, phir bhi dimag upset hai. There are, you know, I cannot hear. Thoda bolo na unko, thoda to unko volume badhane ko bolo na, piche ka, tell him to increase the volume na. To whether you have something you suffer, you don't have something you suffer. If you don't have enough money, you suffer because of some disease like influenza. And if you have a lot of money, then you will suffer by something called as affluenza. Aisa bhi hai. If you are not married, you suffer. Oh. If you are married also, you suffer. It is said, मैं भी ताजमहल बनवाना चाहता हूं, मैं भी ताजमहल बनवाना चाहता हूं, पर क्या करूं, मुमताज ही नहीं मिलती. एंड हिज फ्रेंड इज सेइंग, मैं भी ताजमहल बनवाना चाहता हूं, पर क्या करूं, मेरी मुमताज ही नहीं मरती. यू नो सिचुएशन इज दैट एवरीबडी सफरिंग. So the problem is not to change the situation. No matter what situation you are in, if you are not Krishna conscious, if you are not happy, if you are not taking to spiritual life, then you cannot be happy by doing anything. So therefore it is said that God puts us into a situation to change us, but we pray to God to change the situation. That's what Arjun, he just wanted to escape, he just wanted to leave the battlefield and just run. But Krishna said, no, you have to do your duty. You have to do your duty and you have to fight. So therefore, the idea is don't run away from the situation. If there is a negative influence and if you feel the heat, but it is with a purpose. The pain in itself, as Radhana Swami Maharaj says, the pain in itself is not the problem. But it is actually only an indication of a fundamental problem which is beyond our existential problem, that we are in a place which we are not meant to be. And therefore it is only an indication. And there are so many such solutions which have been put forth in order to counteract this pain, but we forget the main problem. Like in World War II, it is said that these soldiers would carry morphine injections, and many times when the soldiers would be shot or wounded, their guts would be spilled and their intestines and their bleeding, and it's not possible for them to recover in that. They're in the battlefield, there's no hospital, there's no medical aid. So at that time, the makeshift doctors with their makeshift whatever arrangements, they give them morphine injections, which deadens the pain, but then eventually they die. Because the pain is meant to tell them that there's, you know, your intestines are out, you have to do something, otherwise you'll die. But then you can't do anything. So eventually we have to make that shift of surrendering to Krishna, go into that spiritual consciousness in that situation, and then only we can truly be happy and get a permanent solution. So therefore this world is like a burning crucible where all the souls are cast for being purged and being purified for the great purpose of God. So it is said, Grishtam, Grishtam, Punarapi Punaha, Chandanam, Charugandham, Dagdham, Dagdham, Punarapi Punaha, Kanchanam, Kantivaranam, Chinnam, Chinnam, Punarapi Punaha, Swadu Chaivikshu Khandam, Na Jayante Prakriti Vikritihi Pranante Sajjananam. So the souls are compared to sugar cane, or it is compared to gold, or it is compared to block of sandalwood. And all of these three items, they are put to extreme circumstances. You have to grind chandan to get the smell. You have to cast the gold again and again. You know, the goldsmith, they look at the gold and then they feel it's not pure enough. Then they put it into the fire and then they take it out and again they hammer it and they see it's not good. And then they put it back and again the gold is cast into the fire. And then when it is finally up to the satisfaction of the maker, then he takes it out and he makes it into an ornament. So similarly, the miseries in this world are actually a blessing. It's not a curse. Because it's only the miseries, it's only the difficulties which give us more strength. In fact, when there is happiness, we only become lazy. That's why there's a saying that calm oceans don't make good sailors. We have, therefore, Katha Upanishad says, Uttishtha Jagrata Prapya Varan Nibodhata. That, get up, Uttishtha, wake up, Jagrata, Prapya Varan Nibodhata, and secure the ultimate blessing which has been awarded to the human form of life, the opportunity to become Krishna conscious. And that is called as tap, the austerity that we voluntarily take up in order to advance in our not simply, life is not simply meant for living comfortably. So that is available to all living entities in all walks of life, all kinds of sense gratification, but this exclusive opportunity for become purified. And na jayante prakriti vikriti pranante sajjananam. And the characteristics of a great soul is that in no situation does he give up his Krishna consciousness. In all situations he is Krishna conscious. Yeah. So therefore, this misery has a very great purpose. Example is given in Bhagavatam, Kita Peshas Kritaha Ruddha Kudyayantam Anusmaran Samramba Bhaya Yogena Vindate Tat Swarupatam. That the wasp which is captured by the bee is kept in its nest and is meditating and is and the wasp is meditating on the bee and he is so frightened, and when he gives up his body he becomes a bee in his next life. So the fear made him contemplate on the bee, and when fear in our lives, when it motivates us to become Krishna conscious, that becomes bhaya yogena, bhaya yoga. So fear is not always bad, it's in one sense good also. It's necessary, it's one of the great motivations, as I was speaking that day also previously, that many times we have studied in college only because we were afraid of exams, failing in the exams, you know. And many people study on the last moment, you know, kya syllabus kya hai, and they take all the books, and then last moment, you know, 1-2 days or 1 week before the exams, people are struggling. Why? Because they're frightened. Oh, exams are nearing. But nobody likes exams, but everybody knows that in order to excel, you have to, in order to get your degree, you have to go through the exam. So therefore, a very important thing is that birth and death has been put here with a purpose. And there are so many such examples. You see in Ramayana, Ramchandra had to go through so many such trials and tribulations, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what to speak of Lord Ram, even his wife, Mother Sita. When Lord Ram was wandering in the in his kingdom disguised, and when he heard that the subjects are speaking ill about his wife, and he decided that in order for the welfare of the children who will be born, she should be sent to another place, because if the children are born in an environment, in an ambience where the people are gossiping, it won't be good for the upbringing. So he decides to banish her into the forest. Or rather send her into the much better facility where the children will grow up, because his wife, Mother Sita, was pregnant at that time. And in our Vedic culture, a pregnant woman is considered the greatest, even better than even the old people. And in fact, all respects must be given to a lady who's pregnant. If she happens to come in a place where even old people are there, even old people would give a seat to the pregnant woman. But Lord Ramchandra decided to banish Mother Sita in that situation. He told Lakshman, "Hey Saumitra, please take Sita and drop her at the ashram of Valmiki." And with a heavy heart, Lakshman takes Mother Sita. They reach Valmiki's ashram by evening, and it's dark, and Lakshman drops her there, takes dust from her feet and sits on the chariot and comes back. And Mother Sita is wondering about her plight. How did she get into this plight? And she's wondering that, "I am the daughter of one of the greatest kings, Maharaj Janak. And Maharaj Janak's example is given even by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. And I am the daughter-in-law of the greatest emperor of the universe, Dasharatha Maharaj. And I have my husband who is the personification of moksha, the supreme personality of God. I have three brother-in-laws who are the personification of kama, dharma and artha. And look at my plight, I am pregnant and I have been abandoned into the forest." And while she is contemplating, a tear appears in her eyes and flows down her cheek and comes to her chin, and was just about to fall to the ground when Valmiki appears, and with his kamandalu he just collects that teardrop, and that becomes the inspiration for composing Ramayana. So we can see that many times when we are cast into difficulties, we tend to become introspective. That's why we see that many times even cricket players, I heard that when they lose, they become very introspective. And when they are given the mic to speak, "So what do you think, why you lost?" They've got a lot to say. But winners generally, when they're given a mic, they, "Okay, yes, thank you. I mean, thanks to these people, thanks to these people, we perform well," and they give away the mic. There are no deep realizations. It doesn't make a person introspective. It makes one lazy. But misery keeps us alert. And therefore, this is one of the functions of Maya, to put us into difficulties, to motivate us. Become serious, chant Hare Krishna. See, even Yudhishthir Maharaj, in the life of the Pandavas, Yudhishthir Maharaj is asking, I mean, at the time when Bhishma is lying on the bed of arrows, he is asking this question: "Kimekam devatam loke kim vapyekam parayanaha stubantah kam kamarchantah prapnayur manava shubham. Ko dharma sarva dharmanam bhavatah paramo matah kim japan muchyate jantur janma samsara bandhanat." That whom should I worship? Who is the supreme personality of Godhead? Who can free me from the cycle of birth and death? Which mantra should I chant? So that is the inquiry where even great devotees like Yudhishthir Maharaj is asking. It's certainly a priority for all civilized people to get a solution for deliverance from the cycle of birth and death. How can we be so casual about it? A man sitting in his house and, you know, he's watching television and he just peeps towards his window and he sees something slithering through the window, and he is looking, what is that? And he finds a long 10-foot snake which is creeping into his house through behind the curtain and goes underneath the chair and underneath the bed somewhere and just vanishes. Now that person is not going to be peaceful and says, "Arey yaar, main TV dekh leta hun, baad mein niptata hun usko." He is going to see. He's going to make arrangements. He's going to now do whatever it takes to somehow. Once he captures the snake, puts it in a sack and ties it, and then he may think, "Okay, fine. I will tomorrow morning. I will go and send it to some zoo or something like that." Once he has rectified the situation, once he's got the situation under control, then he can do whatever he wants. So therefore, all civilized people should ultimately have a solution in hand, and then fine, life goes on. You know, as in French they say, c'est la vie, that's life. What to do? You can't escape death. It's a fact of life. So, we can see that's one of the functions of Maya, Prakshaya Patmika Shakti, to motivate everybody to become Krishna conscious. Another function of Maya is to Avaranatmika Shakti, is to cover over the living entities. You know, there is a story of one rishi whose name was Kandu Rishi, and he was a great tapasvi. He was having his kutir on the banks of Gautami Ganga, and in the rainy season he would sit on the in the water and he would in the rain and he would perform austerities. In the hot sun he would surround himself with fire and he would perform austerities and he would be doing dhyan. And during the cold winters he would be just sitting out in the open, submerging himself in the river and chanting his mantras, doing the tantras, mudras. So Indra becomes envious of him and decides to, thinks that maybe this person has wants to take up my position. So he sends an apsara whose name was Pramlocha. From the name only you can make out that she has come to do some locha. So she comes and she is so pretty and she is so beautiful, and this Kandu Rishi looks at her and falls in love. Okay, he wants to get married to her. And he spends time, and many years pass by. And one day he takes the Kamandalu and he's going out of the ashram, and his wife asks him, "Where are you going, my dear husband?" And he says, "I'm going to..." That's a stupid question. What do you think I'm doing? I'm going to chant my Sandhya Vandanam. It's already evening now. He says, "I mean, why after so many years are you going to do..." "What do you mean years? I met you yesterday and morning. I mean, I met you in the morning and today evening I'm going to do my Sandhya Vandanam." He says, "Sorry, I think you're mistaken." And in some places it is said that, she said that it has been 1,000 years, around 6 months and 3 days that we have met. You've forgotten, you completely lost track of the time. And he realized, "What did you say?" And 1,000 years had passed, 6 months, 3 days had passed, and he had no clue. He was so much engrossed in enjoying with her that he could not perceive the passage of time. This is called as Avaranatmika Shakti. It can cover. And we see today, you know, the power of illusion is so much, especially we can see that the internet is, you know, we feel, okay, just let me check the news. You know, for a news checker, and then you check the news, and then one news, and second news, and third news, and I mean, may not be anything destructive, but still, you know, takes away so much of your time. Reliance Jio, it's a nice name, Jio. Actually, it should be Maro, actually. Reliance Maro, lower Maro, free of charge, 6 months, 8 months. So it's certainly a struggle to actually check yourself. You see, because Maya comes in such enamoring ways that it's very difficult to resist. However, there are very constructive things that you can do with all these facilities, but it takes a very mature person to have this sense control in order to rightly use all these facilities in Krishna's service. Other examples are there, like for example, Narad Muni, when he was performing austerities, and Indra, and Kamdev comes in order to check his sense control. And he's shooting his arrows at Narad Muni, and Narad Muni is not even budging. And Kamadev is thinking, "The last time I tested was Lord Shiva. And here I can see is another personality who is not even affected by all my provocations. It seems Narad Muni has conquered lust." So he goes and he falls at the feet of Narad. And Narad opens his eyes to find Kamdev lying there in front of him, prostrating.
And Narada says, who are you and why are you here? He says, I am Kamdev and I have come and taking your blessings because you are another person. Last I tested was Lord Shiva and you are another person who is completely free from any kind of selfish desires. I salute you. Please give your blessings. Narada blesses him and he says, please you may go your way. And Narada becomes a little proud about his accomplishment and he thinks, okay, who else can I go and narrate my accomplishments but Lord Shiva, who has also accomplished that position. So he goes and tells, and he goes and meets Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva understands what he wants to say and he says, that's good that you have come to me, but please don't go to Lord Narayan and tell him this. Okay. So Narad Muni thinks, I think he's envious of me because he has also conquered lust, I have also conquered lust. So he doesn't want me to. Now I will go, and he goes to Narayan. Lord Vishnu thinks, okay, Narada, very good, very nice accomplishment. Even before he says anything, Narayan understands. So Narad Muni is very happy and he comes down into this material world and he sees a kingdom which he had not seen previously. And there was huge festivities going on and he inquires what is going on and who is the king here. And he sees there was a king whose name was Shila Nidhi. Goes and inquires from the king, meets the king. The king welcomes him and gives him a very warm welcome and asks and tells him to bless his daughter because it's a Swayamvar ceremony of his daughter and she has to choose her husband. And please look at her hand and say whether she's going to get a good husband. So Narada sees her face and sees her hand and she was as beautiful as Sri Devi, the consort of Narayan. And he's completely loses his sense control and he decides that I want to get married to her. And he tells, this girl, daughter of yours, is as beautiful as Sri Devi, as beautiful as Sri Devi, and therefore her husband will also be as handsome as Sri Hari. That much I can tell you. And he goes, immediately he goes to his master, Lord Narayan, whom he has pledged to always serve. And he has always pledged to be a brahmachari throughout his life. And he goes to Narayan and he says, please, I have to now somehow win the hand of this girl. I want to get married. So, bless me that I will be as handsome as you. Now, body is okay, but face, make it just like Hari. Tathastu. And then he comes down and Swayamvar is going on. He stands in the line. He's the last person and then that girl comes with a mala and she's going around and she looks at Narada standing there smiling at her and bypasses him and in fact even kind of laughs at him and goes to another man who apparently was standing behind Narada and garlands him. And he says, what is happening here? I thought she's going to choose me. And he looks and it was Narayan and she garlands Narayan. And he's thinking, what is this? And the people around were laughing at him and why are they laughing? And then he looks into that girl's eyes, looking at him, he finds that his face was like that of a monkey. Because when he asks this blessing from Lord Narayan, that bless me that I will have the face of Hari. Hari also in Sanskrit means monkey. So he got the face of a monkey and was completely offended. And immediately when he became so humbled by that experience, that experience of being dejected, and rejected, he immediately, everything dawns upon him and he sees that it was Narayan, it was none other than Lakshmi, and everything around him was Shvetadvip and everything was Vaikuntha, and he realized that he was overpowered by the illusory energy of Yogamaya, Narayan, and he was actually was given a very important lesson that we should never become proud of our accomplishments. That's also Maya. Even you may have controlled your senses, but there is no reason to be proud. So this is the Avaranatmika Shakti of Maya, of Mahamaya. And how can we overcome this formidable barriers which is separating us from Krishna? Mahamaya covers the living entity. Yogamaya covers the Supreme Lord. Like you may come to the temple for darshan. But if the darshan is closed, you will not get darshan. The darshan is open, but you are sitting and your eyes are closed, still you will not get darshan. You are sleepy and you are... So therefore, to get darshan, you must have the desire to take the darshan, you have to come to the temple, you have to make that endeavor, but at the same time, the darshan also should be open. The Lord should be willing to give you darshan. So therefore, this maya is a covering, just like in the rainy season, it's very cool, it's not very warm. But the sun is shining very brightly beyond the clouds. So the clouds are effectively covering our eyes, not the sun. And we can understand in October how hot it gets. Understand the power of the sun. It's still there, but we can't realize it. So the Mahamaya is covering us. Yeah. How to become free from this? What is the solution? There's a very nice story in the Bible about when Joshua, when he releases the Jews from slavery in Egypt. He takes them through the desert and brings them to a place called as the city of Jericho. And God had told them that you should conquer this city and reclaim that for yourself. I have ordained it for you. So when they come there, they discover that that city is surrounded by walls, which is about, some researchers say that it was around 11 feet tall and 14 feet wide. And even from above the wall, there is another wall extending to a second array of walls, which is equally or even more thicker. A wall 14 feet thick, can you imagine? And they had to enter into that city. Now, militarily speaking, if you develop a strategy for breaking into a city like that, you would have to burn some fire and weaken the wall and bring it down, or you would have to make a tunnel and go from under the wall into the city. Or you would have to probably surround the city and prevent people from inside from getting out, or from people from outside from getting in, and block them for a long time so that people inside may starve and wait for them to exhaust all their supplies of food, and so then they surrender and they come out. But then God gave Joshua the message that you simply just for 7 days just surround the city, just march around the city, and on the seventh day after you march, just blow your trumpets and everything will be done. And all the people were thinking, how is that possible? How can simply by marching around a city with walls which are 14 feet wide, how can we? It doesn't make sense. And they were all dubious, incredulous about it. And Joshua told them that you should not doubt the word of God. And they did that, but they followed, and then they just marched for 7 days, and at the end of the seventh day they all blew their trumpets, and according to the Bible the walls came down and they conquered the city. So the message that the Bible gives in this respect is that if the Lord says that this is the process by which you can accomplish, then you must have faith. And also it is said in the Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj says that going back home, back to God, going to Golok is easier than going to Jaslok. Going to Golok, I mean, recently I was here in the veranda, in the lobby, and there was one congregation devotee who came from Panvel, and he came with some relatives of his. And I said, "Arey, Prabhuji, aap kahan se aaye ho? Yahan par kaise? Mandir mein kaise?" He said, "Nahi, mere kuch parivar rishtevadar aaye hain, Guwahati se aaye hain. और यहाँ पर कुछ कुछ प्रोग्राम कुछ रॉक शो चल रहा है डीवाई पाटिल स्टेडियम में नवी मुंबई. सो वन अमेरिकन सिंगर हैड कम, तो वो लोग आए हैं उनको रिसीव करने के लिए. सो आई सेड, ओह रियली, अच्छा, अमेजिंग. सो देन दैट देयर वाज वन गर्ल, स्मॉल गर्ल, एंड शी हैड टेकन टिकट्स. मैंने आई आस्क्ड, हाउ मच डिड यू पे फॉर द टिकट्स? शी सेड 32,000 रुपीज. आई सेड, व्हाट, सो एक्सपेंसिव, माय गॉड. And then I realized, later on I discovered there were tickets worth 72,000, 32,000, 7,000. That's much people pay to attend a 2-hour program. And I was thinking, we have such amazing programs, all free of charge. But still nobody is coming. I mean, people come, but it's not so much. And it's quite astonishing. And that's what Prahlad Maharaj is saying, that to go back to Golok is so easy. go to the hell is so difficult. You have to spend so much money, but still people are spending money and saying, please give me a ticket to hell. No problem. Yeah. So basically, also therefore Shastra says, going back to Godhead is as simple as chanting the holy names of God, just remembering the Lord. Therefore in the Mahabharata it is said, yasya smarana matrena janma samsara bandhanat vimuchyate namastasmai vishnave prabha vishnave om namo vishnave prabha vishnave. That simply, yasya smarana matrena, only by remembering the Lord you can become free from the cycle of birth and death. This great fortress of Maya, like the walls of Jericho, can be brought down simply by the process of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that is what our acharyas and our predecessors have promised us. God has promised us that if you simply chant Hare Krishna, minimum of 16 rounds, and follow the regulative principles of freedom, we will most certainly attain the kingdom of God, attain mukti and bhakti in this very lifetime. So there is no need to doubt, and we have to, basically the message is to put our shoulders to the wheel and get to the process, apply ourselves to the process of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.